Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Tuesday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and you. Mr. Jay will be back on Thursday. Loaded program, lot to talk about today. We'll get into some Nebraska football. Spring around the corner into Husker basketball as Michigan State looms. Husker baseball, a chance to go beaver hunting in surprise later on in the week against Oregon State. And I guess it's Bro Tank Tuesday, TJ. Well done. Like, huh? What? Huh? Again, a weather reference. I'm joking. You're not wearing a bro tank.
I'd never wear one.
Really?
Yeah, not my style.
Ever?
Yeah, you'd have to, like, give me a lot of Bud Lights or something like that, but I wouldn't wear that on purpose, I don't think.
See, the reason I throw it out there is because someone tells me it's like 75 and awesome out.
It is.
Across the state. So I figured, you know what, let's just paint the picture that TJ's wearing a bro tank.
Yeah, not that guy, but that's all right. If you wear them, good for you.
See, I don't wear them because...
Plus, I don't have the guns for it. Like, I work out, but
my gun show's not impressive at all. I don't have a hairy... Look, he's wearing a sweater back. I'm not that guy. I'm not a chimp. But I'm not sculpted up top enough to show you my arms or my underarms. It would make people sick.
Yeah. So only strong guys can wear those.
But Uncle Andy's not a bench press machine. He wouldn't go to the combine and show out. But Uncle Andy can pull off the bro tank.
He pulls off the bro tank, huh?
And he's got a little bit of the Wayne Newton going. It's not grotesque,
okay.
Where it's just straight up fur. But he's got a little thing working. So yeah. Uncle Andy can wear the bro tank.
All right.
And
some people can.
And Jay Bird. Not R.J. Bird, but another Jay Bird.
I think Jay could pull it off.
Well, yeah, R.J. Bird can do whatever the hell he wants. Abercrombie on line two. So, yeah, I don't know. We're talking bro thing. It's we'll talk recruiting here. And interesting to get things rolling here, the Portland Tribune, Kerry Agers. He was on with us. Lord, how long ago was that? When Riley got hired. Attempts were made. Phone calls were not returned. So we reached out to Kerry Agers, and that's okay. But interesting sit-down with Coach Riley. We'll start there. Mitch Sherman is 15 minutes away. We'll talk with Mitch, kind of get his take on some Husker baseball, get Mitch's take on Nebraska spring football, and then Big Ten Buffet Time with Rick Pizzo at 5. A lot of room for you today, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. And if you do wear a tank top or a bro tank, I don't care how old you are or what your body type or your body fat index is, you go ahead and do it.
Yeah, you do you.
You do you on a day like today, and you do yourself a favor and get to a newsstand because the new issue of Hail Varsity Magazine is out. And you heard Aaron Babcock, happy birthday, Babbers, by the way, describe that, listen, it's kind of a movie theme with this issue heading into spring football, the great unknown, spring football 2017. How's it going to shape the fall of 2017? And some fabulous writing and question marks and great movie theme with it. And so go get yourself a copy today or log on hailvarsity.com and subscribe. But a lot to get to. And let's start with Coach Riley. Okay, his discussion with Kerry Agers. Riley, from time to time in his time at Nebraska, has a couple of dudes in Oregon that covered him. And things will be released by them. What I mean by released... either Canzano, the columnist and radio host, or Agers, we'll get some things that the local media do not. And one of which is the idea and want to have a recruiting department. I don't know how much money Nebraska is clearing after expenses, but they are making a ton of money, and the Big Ten is paying everybody a ton of money. So you have money to invest. You have money to invest in new facilities or kind of redo some things. You have money to spend on football personnel. You do, and you're going to, and you should. Okay, yeah, Billy Devaney and what he's doing with the personnel side of things. And now, do you put a recruiting staff together that rivals that of what Alabama is or what Urban Meyer and Michigan have done? Okay, you need a chance to be different. And you are different because you're Nebraska. But with your money, your name, your resource, and the people you're going to work for, i.e. Mike Riley, so it's wins across the board. So spend this money and be a game changer in the recruiting world. You're doing okay, but even in this interview in the Portland Tribune, wasn't good enough. There was some unhappiness or potential not reached. This from Riley.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start. There's a hundred things here to talk about. First and foremost, the firings. Okay, one, it was hard. It's also been a breath of fresh air this year with some new people, some different people. But I don't think you'll ever be able to have Coach Riley put into words the difficulty and the struggle and how draining it was to let go of two dudes he cares a ton about. That's obvious, but unless you've done it in your own life, where you've had to fire a family member or someone who's been with you from day one, just because there are better options out there. What was going on wasn't good enough to get it done. And the whole grand discussion here, let's focus first on expectations. Listen, you can be told about Nebraska football. You can watch Nebraska football. You can attend a game. All right. You can even do a home and home. Until you get here, you don't know what you don't know. And that is the urgency attached with this football program, the urgency attached with everybody in the state wanting greatness. It's how you're identified, okay? Right, wrong, indifferent, disagree, whatever. If you're a sports fan and you're a Nebraska fan, you are loved and your pride is Nebraska football. That is it. You're a happy dude when you beat Oklahoma back in the day, or you're winning championships, or your team's in the top 20. Clockwork, top 10, top 5. It's how you identify yourself in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. You grow up either wanting to play for them or be a season ticket holder or go attend. All three of those aspects is something that everybody in this state has wanted to do or has done. That's a broad statement, but it's, I think, a pretty fair statement. You care about this program because it is something you're super, super proud of and you want it to do well. You can say that till you're blue in the face, but being in charge of it and coming from a place like Oregon State where the expectation level's apples and oranges, no pun intended with the orange.
Mm-hmm.
It is get to a bowl game, maybe pop U.S. See, your expiration date by beating Pete Carroll in USC is great, which you did in 08, and you did 2 out of 3 years. Great. That's what you want. That's kind of you're Nebraska. You're supposed to do that to some extremists in the fan base. You appreciate it, but it's kind of an expectation. It goes without saying it's what you do. That's what you came rolling into. You win 7, you go 7-5 and go to a bowl game. They're putting a statue of you in Corvallis. You go 7-5, or hell, you go 9-4. And it's panic time because of how you lost the 4. for how you lost 2 out of 6.
Yeah. Oregon State is just not the main attraction like it is here.
It isn't. And you don't know what you don't know, and it's a constant learning curve and process to finally understand and grasp it. And people can still communicate it to you what it's about. But unless you're from here or you've been here before, you don't know. And it can absolutely grind you out and spit you out and stomp you. Look at the past coaches. You've had a lot of really good football coaches here. Have they been awesome? Have they been great post-Osborne? No, but they've been successful. And in one form or another, they have not gotten the job done to the standard of their boss and many in the fan base. So you're on to the next. And a guy who's, and Frank had been here forever, new boss, my hire, okay? Go the NFL route, sexy time, the recruiting and whatever you want to do. Great, square peg, round hole. You bring in a guy who had a cup of coffee here, but the fishbowl and the pressure was too much to handle. And now you have a guy that is polar opposite personality, has been everywhere in football, is beloved in football, knows football, but still, with his life experience in football, NFL, CFL, Alabama, Pac-12, USC. It's now year three, and you're just kind of still going, my sweet God, what is this place? It's not a bad thing. It's a real thing. So that's the first and foremost smack in the face I get with this interview, where it is not good enough. 7-0 was nice, but it still was 40-10 at Iowa. 62-3 at Ohio State. Tennessee did whatever they wanted to do to you physically. So his job at Oregon State post Erickson to stabilize the program. His job at Nebraska to stabilize the program, but the stabilization's different. 7-5 versus, you know, have a 7-5 record against Ohio State. And all of your losses, 3-point losses. So I'm anxious to spend some more time on this. 466-377-6800-825-5865. I think Mike Riley is very real here with this when he touched on the fact that Nebraska had a good season, but the games they won were the games they were supposed to win. The games they lost were the games that you're not supposed to lose. Do you agree with that statement by him?
I mean, I think you're going to lose to Ohio State, just
sure,
the way those two programs are, but the Iowa, Tennessee. Now, Tennessee had a lot of injuries. They're missing some key guys, so I understand that one. The Iowa debacle, that was just not a good showing at all, and that's the toughness part. And you saw some of that a little bit against Ohio State, but you're going to lose to Ohio State. It should have never been 59 points, but that just kind of sputtered out of control.
It did, and the emphasis has been on recruiting, and mm-hmm. even more recruiting. I mean, that's something there that Nebraska is going to focus on a ton, and we'll get into the recruiting department discussion here shortly. But with the losses here, you know, I think you're going to lose. You're going to go 10-2 used to be okay. At Nebraska, it still is okay if you're losing by a field goal. But they weren't competitive in the losses, and it's in Riley's own words. They weren't competitive.
Yeah, except for Wisconsin.
Right. And he's even kicking himself for that. If he had it to do over again, maybe they're more aggressive.
Yeah, gosh. Right? You just look back and that end of that
fourth
quarter.
How often do we reference Wisconsin-Nebraska a week?
A lot.
And it's not that we're running out of crap to talk about. It's a true sticking point.
You just had so many battles with them.
Is this the DeLorean moment where, you know, the Marty McFly moment where mm-hmm. if he doesn't do that road race and get in the... Right.
Yeah, you have that one, and then 2 years ago at
home...
You
veer off the space-time continuum.
That 2 years ago game when you started the let me clear my throat chance and the place goes nuts, but then you still give up the game-winning field goal. Like, man, Wisconsin has been scratch on your back that you cannot itch.
No, they're... The quote from this interview, we had a good season. You win 9 games, and that sounds pretty good, but I learned a lot more about where we have to go. And that's part of this. Mm-hmm. That's what this is meeting and embracing and fully, truly understanding the expectations. And they're not realistic. But it is why you took the job. You wanted to win a championship. How do you want to be remembered? Because you sure as hell weren't appreciated for all you did at Oregon State. Now you get a new chance, and it's year 3 already, and you've made changes again. You've had to make some tough calls, people you really, truly care about, in the name of winning and winning big, in the name of winning and winning big against Ohio State, in the name of not losing to Iowa again, in the name of not losing to Wisconsin, and then having a heartbeat against Tennessee. We shall see. Mitch Sherman will join us next. His thoughts on the Riley interview. His thoughts on some Husker baseball. Maybe some hoops. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Well, we promised you Jay Bird, Black Shirt Jay will be in. On Thursday, busy Thursday, Husker basketball, Husker baseball, but plenty to talk about in reference to the Portland Tribune. Let's talk with Mitch Sherman, college football analyst and writer, ESPN.com and magazine, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, how are we doing today?
I'm good. How are you, Chris? So you were absent last Tuesday. Big Valentine's plans that overtook your radio duties. Is that's what I suspected? But
no, that would have been awesome. That would have been great. You know, it was 102 degree temperature. The flu.
Ooh, that's terrible. Sorry. I hope you're feeling much better.
I feel and sound awesome. I'm a really happy dude right now. I'm feeling great. It's amazing weather. I even kidded TJ as the show started off. It's, you know, Bro Tank Tuesday. I was hoping TJ'd come in the tank top, and he just kind of scowled at me. But yeah. No, man, I was just dead to the world last Tuesday and Wednesday, and just beat up, just nothing good at all. So I wish it was Valentine's Day.
It's a little early for the tank top, but even with the weather, you could take the show outside, or I would have really liked to have seen some baseball outside around these parts last weekend, but was let down and had to pay attention to my computer and see games getting rained out in the desert.
No, I know, right? But wisdom says it's supposed to be like here, down there, but at least Surprise will be full of red here later on in the week. What's your initial take, Mitch, here? Let's start with Nebraska baseball here. I know 1-1, but Do you have initial thought or feeling on this team? How do you think year 6 will be for Coach Erstad? What do you think the makeup's like?
Oh, is this year 6 already?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's been that long. It doesn't seem like it's been that long since he was wearing the uniform, honestly, which just makes me feel old. But and he's older than me, so
Or remind him.
Yeah. Not much, but a little bit. It seems to me, without having watched them play, of course, that this is a team that has a good foundation and a shot to go back to the postseason. And the key in college baseball or a key, I don't know that there's one key. Well, if there is a key, it's to be playing your best at the best time at the most important time of year. And you know, look at Coastal Carolina last year. Was Coastal Carolina the best team in the country from February through June? No, but they figured out a way, like so many teams have in recent years. I don't think it used to be like that in college baseball. When I started following the sport as a young writer in the press box at Rosenblatt Stadium, it seemed much more likely that the team that was dominant from the beginning of the year, or the teams that were great year after year, were the ones who had success in the postseason and success in Omaha. And now it's so much more, you know, it's similar to basketball, and it's so much more about getting yourself in position to play well at the right time of year. And one way that you can do that is to have experience in the postseason, where you go in consecutive years or three straight years. And this is an opportunity, I think, for Nebraska's program under Darren Erstad to get back to a place where it was 10, 15 years ago. I mean, as recently as 12 years ago, this team was in the College World Series, so it's not a lifetime ago, but clearly nobody in the program now, other than the head coach, and that, you know, it was before it, you know, that was his time was before that period, recalls what it's like to have a run of year after year after year in the postseason. So this team's had some experience now. They've gotten some traction in June, and you know, you build on that, and you figure out how to play your best ball at the right time of year, and that's really what it takes to have success in college baseball.
Mitch Sherman with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, I want to talk to you a little bit here when it comes to spring football for Nebraska and the idea of a recruiting operations staff. You cover a lot of college football, and what sticks out to you about some places that have these staffs? I mean, I know Bama does, and I'm trying to wrap arms around other places that do or have more personnel devoted to it. What's kind of a hallmark of a recruiting staff when Nebraska, per this interview with Gary Eggers in the Portland Tribune, that's something in Nebraska, the direction they may go. What needs to start? How does this need to kind of get put together based on what you've seen or heard?
I think Nebraska's had some of that going on already. I mean, clearly Nebraska has more of a recruiting and operations staff, a much more extensive staff under Mike Riley in these first 2 years than what we've ever seen in the history of Nebraska football. Mm-hmm. You know, the positions that Nebraska's filled with six-figure jobs, and I'm talking about guys like Dan Vandereed and Ryan Gunderson, who's now gone to San Jose State this offseason, and Andy Vaughn. These guys are, you know, those were graduate assistant type. I mean, not Vandereed. I mean, he's the operations director. That's been a significant job for a number of years. But the other two that I mentioned have basically been you know, glorified interns until the Riley regime. So Nebraska is already on its way, and it has already done a lot more in terms of in-office recruiting operations and investing in that than what it has at any point in the history of Nebraska football. And that just follows a trend that's happened among elite programs around the country. And you mentioned Alabama, and they're the pace setter clearly in that area. And I think it pays off in some way in that Alabama signs the number one recruiting class year after year after year. But the bigger factor in that is the machine that Alabama has on the field and in the head coach's office. So they go, and it's a chicken and egg argument. They kind of go hand in hand. You build up your recruiting and your operations staff, and you get great recruits, or do you have success and then you have the resources to be able to put money into those areas? I think it goes both ways. There's a way to view it on either side. You know, what those programs can do in Ohio State or in LSU or Florida, you know, Texas has had some of that, where you just have resources and bodies in those positions, is it just lets you be more organized. You have more eyeballs evaluating film. You know more about the prospects who are out there. You're recruiting on sophomore and junior classes well before signing day of the senior year class. So it's fairly common sense that you know, in addition to having more success on the field, also having more people in place to do the recruiting in your office is going to lead to a more sound operation and ultimately success in recruiting.
It's about getting that better yield and no stone unturned with the more manpower you have, Mitch, right? You can not miss a kid's sophomore film, but also have eyes and ears open if there's some late senior film, right? I mean, it just makes sense. So if you were to go chicken or egg here, what do you think drives it? Is it on-field performance or is it off-field investment?
I think first you've got to have the on-field performance. I don't think that, you know, I haven't seen an example of a program that's been flush with cash without having success and then gone the route of hiring a ton of manpower and turning it around on the field. I think you've got to have the success on the field, and that generates resources, which in turn can lead to the manpower and the additional success in recruiting. Usually those places are already having success in recruiting. But, I would be interested to hear, and I haven't read the article that you referenced, but I would be interested to hear and interested to see the results of what Nebraska plans to do in continuing to beef up those operations even more. You're going to replace Gunderson, of course, who's a big loss for Nebraska and has been with Riley and was a quarterback for Riley and somebody who I think understands Mike Riley's vision for specific positions and then also what he wants in the program from a larger perspective too. But the addition last year of Billy Devaney has turned out to be a huge thing in a lot of areas of the program, but definitely in recruiting. And I was kind of surprised that Nebraska, after bringing in a former NFL general manager, I was surprised.
No. Did we lose him? Hello, Mitch. That's hurtful. That's absolutely hurtful. It was building up. And then no. So Mitch Sherman, see if Mitch can, do we have him? That's garbage. You got to put another quarter in the phone. Apparently, either that or get new phone lines. Did you break it, CJ? No? Wasn't your fault? All right. So Mitch Sherman was going to make the best point ever in the history of sports radio. And Mitch, we have 2 minutes left to continue on here. You were about ready to say something awesome.
I don't know where you were, I cut off. I was still talking when the phone rang again. So
Billy Devaney.
Yeah, I was talking about Devaney and how I was surprised when I sat down with him last year how involved he actually is in recruiting. I figured because of his background that he would be more of a guy that evaluated the personnel of the current team, that he was experienced in looking at those higher level players. You know, of course, he's been an NFL general manager and has been involved in the draft, but he wants to be there on the ground floor looking at film of the high school guys and embracing that recruiting staff, and Nebraska has certainly welcomed him and allowed him to flourish in that role, I think.
Mitch Sherman with us, CSPN.com and magazine at Mitch Sherman. Mitch, I've got literally about 60 seconds left. I have one more question to ask you in reference to Devaney. Can I have you hang on for a sec so I don't cut you off? Is that all right?
Yeah, as much time as you need, I've got it.
All right, hang tight. Mitch Sherman, got to ask him about Billy Devaney and the recruiting prowess that Nebraska is on. And it's in reference to the department they want to create. And Mitch is right, they do have already with some really good personnel. Stands to reason with the amount of money Nebraska has and the Big Ten's throwing at people, you can invest even further in a recruiting staff. What's that look like? How do you shape it? And Mitch Sherman will meet us on the other side. Thanks to him. We lost him halfway through the interview, so that was no bueno. But thanks to him for sticking around. Coming up 20 minutes away, Big Ten Buffet with Rick Pizzo. More thoughts on Riley and his comments in this interview with the Portland Tribune and Kerry Eggers. Hail Varsity Radio continues. Mitch Sherman back with us, and we're presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. And we're talking Nebraska and recruiting and a recruiting department per the interview with Mike Riley in the Portland Tribune. Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine, kind enough to hang over the break with this. We lost Mitch last segment, so we didn't quite get our 10 minutes with Mitch, and he's awesome to give us a few minutes. Mitch, I want to go back to Billy Devaney and the recruiting staff and Devaney's background as a scout and as a general manager and as a talent evaluator. My question to you is how difficult or easy is this role of his for him moving forward, where he's not evaluating kids for an NFL roster, he's not evaluating kids to draft even, or sign as free agent. He's evaluating high school kids that might be 14 or 15 years of age, and you're trying now to project them through development at a impact level. And I think of Prince Amukamara as kind of the guy I wrap my arms around, that he's a three-star guy that was insanely talented, developed, and is now on his second NFL contract after being a first-round pick.
Yeah, you never know how a guy's going to grow physically and mature. And, you know, Prince Amukamara is a great example in that he came out of Phoenix along with a handful of other Nebraska signees. And if you looked at those guys up close back in 2007 mm-hmm. when they signed with Nebraska, that you would have certainly not picked Prince among those kids to be the one who ended up being a first-round draft pick. But, you can't foresee injuries with the other guys. There's so many things about a player's college experience and college life that you can't forecast. You certainly can't see by watching high school film. But I think with Billy Devaney, the thing that the strength that he sees in himself and as he was able to kind of to build this job that he's in from the ground up, I think he had a huge amount of input as far as what he does on a day-to-day basis. This wasn't Mike Riley advertising for a specific job and saying, okay, Billy, come in here and do exactly what I'm asking you to do. It was these two getting together and collaborating, and Devaney playing a big role in deciding what he felt he did best. And a lot of that is evaluating talent, you know, whether it's the talent at the college level and how it projects to the NFL, or the talent at the high school level and how it projects to college. There's nuances and differences between those things, but ultimately it comes down to the same thing. And it's can you play the game? You know, what's your athleticism like? How do you, you know, how is this going to translate to the next level, whatever that level is? The difficulty, and I think where he's had to adjust, and he recognizes this, is that at the high school level, you're dealing with some things that are different than projecting college to the NFL. One is the level of competition that they're facing. And I've talked to Billy about this. If you're watching a high school football game in the state of Texas or a high school football game in the state of Michigan, you don't necessarily know who's lined up on the other side of the ball from that defensive end that you're checking out. That guy might look like Lawrence Taylor coming off the ball as a high school junior, but he's facing a 15-year-old freshman in his first varsity game who is completely scared out of his mind. And you don't know that if you're watching that film as a talent evaluator. So that's one thing you have to take into consideration. And then also just the quality of the film. And that's changed a lot in recent years with the advent of Huddle, which, you know, dominates the market in that area. And that allows for those college scouts to be able to see things better. But it's still not like watching college film of an NFL prospect. So once you get past those two things, then I think scouting football is scouting football. And you just look for the guys who are the best players, and Devaney's very good at that.
Mitch Sherman with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Mitch, love catching up for a few minutes. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us, and we'll catch up next week. Always fun, bud. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
Take care. Mitch Sherman with us, Hail Varsity Radio. I like that. That's good stuff from Mitch. And, yeah, the transition to go from projecting talent, knowing talent, high school to college, from college to the NFL. And there's no exact science to it. So thoughts on putting a recruiting staff together, and how has Alabama done it? I want that question answered. We may have an answer for it tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
but that's kind of your blueprint go do it. Now, there are certain advantages Alabama has that Nebraska doesn't have, and its location and surrounding areas of talent. But Nebraska's been good for a long, long time. So go figure it out, is my point. I'm all for more investment. I'm all for more transparency with covering your bases so you get more Prince Amukamaras and less, I don't know, pick some guy who flamed out and wasn't any good.
Yeah. I mean, plus with all that extra revenue we're getting from the Big Ten, that money's got to go somewhere, right?
Sure.
And a place you need help right now is recruiting, so why not put it there?
Absolutely. Maximize that thing. So, plenty of stuff here. Now, Mike Riley, last thought on this before we wind down hour one, is taking that next step. Mike Riley very adamant about this in the interview. Win games you're supposed to win, but also take that next step and win some of those big games. We talked about big games yesterday. And it's true. Win big games. Well, how do you win big games? You get guys mentally and physically in that right spot. You need a difference maker at some key spots. You need a difference maker as a pass rusher. You need a difference maker as a cover guy. You need a difference maker as a quarterback. Am I off? You can have a difference maker as a running back, too. Forgive me. But have that dude, like in a mirror, that can go get you two bills against a team that had a lot of NFL talent on it in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Recent example. Has Nebraska had a difference maker at quarterback? And they've had very good quarterbacks. They've had stat-producing, very effective quarterbacks, guys that were just sick athletically. And they also, to their credit, won some big games. They won some big games. They performed well in some big games, but it's also a team effort. Is your defense allowing 40 in those big games where you got to put up 45? Well, let's talk quarterback, because that is something so near and dear to moving forward, to taking that next step. Your quarterback options are vast. You have a couple of four stars that are on campus. You got a transfer that did well in the Manning Passing Academy. That's great. God love you. Good work. Is it going to translate to 3rd and 8 in Columbus? Is it going to translate to Black Friday at Iowa City, or say Iowa's here? That's what we're talking about. Taking that next step. Having the dudes get it done on the field. You got to feel pretty good about that, don't you, at quarterback? Because you have some options. We'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN. Or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
One final time in this first hour. Here to have you in on HAIL Varsity Radio, HAIL Varsity Magazine. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Get to see your friends at Sauter Heyman. It's going to be amazing weather in central and in, well, eastern Nebraska. 1 carat diamonds at Sauter Heyman. $100 a month. It's a deal. It's almost a steal. Almost. Got to have approved credit. Limited time offer. So there is a shot clock. But go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman today. Ask them about that 1 carat diamond. $100 a month. 12th and O downtown, Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, or out west in Grand Island. I will just say this about the 1 carat diamond. They have some incredible selection. I mean, this thing's better than what Kobe got his old lady. I mean it. Because when it was time to to take care of Mama Bunny, I had a choice between like a yellow diamond they had. Mm-hmm. And this isn't Heisenberg in the back room. Let's create this. These are real diamonds. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I had yellow, and then there was a blue one. It was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm off the hook for like the next 75 birthdays. But it's a 1 carat diamond, $100 a month. Booyah. I'm a happy guy. She's happy. You'll be happy. SauterHeyman.com. Okay. So I made you cringe when I asked about the tank top. This was on Twitter earlier. And I need to, Carson is not gone there yet. But it is happening.
Okay.
Flip-flops, Birkenstocks, and socks. Either or. I'm a guilty man when it comes to flip-flops.
Uh-huh.
That has been curbed, and then it's now just weekend only. It's been enough threats on my life at work here that I don't wear them anymore. But that dirty looks, enough firing threatened. I will lace up at work.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to pool time and weekends and warm weather, flip-flops. Got to have them. But kids now are wearing either Birkenstocks or just sandals with socks.
Yeah.
Why?
You gave me grief one morning when I came in with socks and sandals.
But you need to punch yourself in the face for doing that.
I mean, nobody's seeing me. And like,
the world saw you. There was some poor scumbag out back with that trailer park that peeked over the fence and said, I may be over there, but I'm not wearing socks and sandals.
Like, the sandals I wear are like Adidas athletic ones. So
right,
like,
and that's, so you're coming.
So I'm like either going to play basketball or I'm just
lie to
like
me and
mosing
say I'm
around.
Coming from a game.
But like one, like the sandals you got to stick your toe through, like, no,
you
never
can't,
wear
no,
a sock.
You, well, no,
that.
You can't do that. But you have, back in the day, you had like the Nike workout sandals or whatever. People would wear socks with those.
Yeah, that's a no-go.
Right?
Yeah.
Or even if you wear Birkenstocks, it's all good. You know, I don't care. But don't wear socks with them, ever.
Socks and sandals
Jerry
are the
Garcia
bro tank. Should I wear that tomorrow?
Grateful Dead card revoked. No. And we're seeing it now. It's an epidemic. You may hate bro tanks, but socks and sandals.
Bro tanks, Oakleys, socks
Time
and sandals.
Time to jump in front of traffic. Hour 2 coming up.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, Van Dyke!
Hey, Van Dyke!
We get better, better!
We get better, better!
We get big, big!
We get big, big!
Boom, big, big!
Boom, big, big!
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back at it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It is that time again, Big Ten Buffet. Judging by the weather in the great state of Nebraska, it could be a barbecue buffet. Rick Pizzo with us at BTN. Rick Pizzo. Mr. Rick, how are you, dude?
I'm doing fine, Chris, and judging on the weather here in Chicago, I can't believe that I'm talking to you right now, and I'm not on the first tee, but you know what? You got to pay the bills. It's February. Can't exactly afford to be out on the golf course right now.
No, but I've thought about it, and I'm sure you've thought about it. I have yet to come up with an excuse the suits will take, other than, hey, it's we got to go talk to clients, right?
Yeah, I can't do it this time of the year, my man. We debated, it's going to be 70 something degrees here, courses are open, it's almost impossible to fly it over the tower at this time of the year.
But at least we're thinking about it.
Correct.
I like it. Rick, let's talk recruiting. And Mike Riley had an interview with the Portland Tribune, Kerry Eggers, about Nebraska 2017, and things were covered in that interview, expectations, at Nebraska, how the season went. We'll get into all of that. But a fourth branch of Nebraska football looks to be part of the addition here, and that's kind of a recruiting department. What's your reaction to that? There's lots of money, thanks to the Big Ten, coming into all Big Ten schools, and you can spend it. And one way to do that is enhance recruiting.
No, there's no doubt about it. And not only am I supportive of it, I almost think for a program like Nebraska right now, it's a necessity. because you are dealing with recruiting issues that other schools inside your conference are not dealing with. It is not hard for kids in their junior year to go from Ohio or to go from other Midwestern hotbeds and go visit Michigan, go visit Ohio State, go visit some of these other programs. It's tough to get to Lincoln. Now, I understand that's under the possibility of changing and that junior year visit that can be paid for by the school, and the early signing would be great. But until it actually happens and it gets approved by the NCAA committee, I would argue that Nebraska, at least when it comes to wanting to compete against schools like Michigan and Ohio State, and to an extent Penn State, is at a distinct disadvantage. So if you have the money to start your own recruiting department, and this department flies by the NCAA, it is fully funded, it is fully legal, and its one responsibility, or its main responsibility, is to go out and get players that maybe otherwise would not have paid attention, I think, as I said, it's not only important, but maybe becomes almost necessary for a school like Nebraska right now.
No, and do what others aren't doing, or be better at it than some of the blue bloods are currently at it, based on population and density and all that. I mean, you have such a great array of talent in Western Pennsylvania, the Ohio Valley, the state of Texas, California, SEC country. You know where the hotbeds are at. In your observation, Rick, what's Michigan doing? What's Ohio State doing? And then, you know, Penn State. Let's look at the Big Three and the Big Ten that are not only doing it on the field, but they're doing it in recruiting.
Yeah, and I don't think they're necessarily doing anything now that they haven't done in the past. They're just doing it slightly differently. So with Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, he inherited a program that was not doing well on the field, but was still doing well with recruiting. Right. People make fun of Bear Brady Hoke all the time, but he really did a nice job recruiting and leaving a full cupboard for Jim Harbaugh. Now, Harbaugh has gained more attention because of the way that he does things, because of all the newsworthy events that he hosts or that he is a part of. Ohio State has never really fallen off in recruiting, and once Urban Meyer took that job, you knew it was going to stay that way forever. I mean, he is relentless. He hires a staff and has guys who consistently want to work for him, who are phenomenal recruiters already, really well-known guys. That's never going to be an issue. But now you throw a Penn State in the mix. James Franklin, a terrific recruiter, a guy who wants to be a college coach. I don't think that that was ever the case with Bill O'Brien. And they're winning. And you have Wisconsin with all the success that they've had recently recruiting their formula. So, you know, you're in a situation now where I don't think you can have average years in recruiting and expect as a staff to have success and keep your jobs. And I think Mike Riley was very clear about it. They were where? Somewhere in the 25 range this year. And he said afterwards, you know, that really wasn't good enough. We basically need to be inside the top 20 every year. And he's right.
Rick Pizzo with his Big Ten Buffet. Hail Varsity Radio at BTN. Rick Pizzo, find and follow him on Twitter. You watch him throughout the week on BTN. Now, you're right. You hit the formula that Wisconsin has, and then kind of the population base and on-field performance that the Big Three have been doing. So when you put a staff together, you have double-digit numbers. I mean, I've heard and I've talked to some folks that work down at Bama, and there's 40 dudes on staff that just focus on recruiting. So if you're Nebraska and you take that next step, you've got Billy Devaney. Okay, he's your player personnel guy. Yeah, and then you have what? What's a number? Do you start with eight on top of what your coaches are already doing with their connections? I mean, what's a starting point here if we're gonna talk about this out loud, if Nebraska's next step is to have a staff put together?
My belief is if you're going to do this, Chris, you got to jump in. And I'm not talking both feet. I'm talking full-on dive, cannonball, whatever you want to call it. You have to make the splash. Now, you hire, if you're going to start this department, you hire as many people as you can afford in that department. That's the only way to do it. The money is going to be there, and success breeds success. So if you start with 8 or 10 guys who are strictly recruiting gurus, that's their main job. They're not worried about X's and O's. They're not worried about play calling. They're only worried about following the rules and bringing in the best players. Now, there are rules and regulations about the NCAA coaching staff, how many guys you can have on staff, how many football support staff members, however, is not really regulated. You brought up Alabama. I mean, Nick Saban literally has an army of people inside his office who have myriad different jobs. If you're Nebraska, you can't go at this halfway. If you're going to do it, you have to do it and spend every dime that is at your disposal.
Okay, they do that, and then the return on the investment is it needs to be on the field. In this interview, we kind of touched on with Kerry Eggers, 9-4 was nice. You beat who you were supposed to beat, but the expectation was not met based on who you lost to and how you lost. It's got to translate to on field. Rick, what was missing? What do you think's missing from Nebraska football right now? What characteristic do you think maybe they can find or hone this spring? There's a ton of questions, but is there an attribute that you think Nebraska needs to have more of moving forward?
Well, what's been missing is no doubt is consistency. That's the easy part to your question. I mean, that's the easy answer. It's like Tommy Armstrong rewrote the record books. He was phenomenal, but he was remarkably inconsistent. One game, he could look like the best quarterback in the Big Ten, and the next game, he could look like the worst quarterback in the Big South. And that is not necessarily a knock about the Nebraska program, but he's not the only one that's been like that. So the answer is consistency has to improve. Can they do that this year? That's going to be a massive challenge. I mean, for all that Tommy was and wasn't, he was your guy for the better part of the last, what, 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. Now you have to break in a new quarterback. You have no Jordan Westerkamp. You have no Nate Gary. You have other holes to fill on both sides of the football. You have a massive change on the defensive side of the football from a coaching perspective. If they're able to solve that consistency issue this year, then that coaching staff will have done one of the best jobs in the Big Ten.
One thing that I look at, too, and there's a couple of games, Rick, and we'll get to hoops in a second, toughness. And mm-hmm. I think the lines of scrimmage, I know John Perrell is tough. I know Coach Cav is tough. I know Nick Gates is a dude that never backs down. Those are just some of the names that come to my mind when I think, yeah, Nebraska football is tough. But when push came to shove, they got rocked against Iowa. They got rocked by Tennessee. And it seemed like they were buffaloed a little bit when it got extremely heated, and it was kind of go time, and they got dominated physically, and that's not something that you're used to seeing, but it's happening more and more often. Do you think this team, as young as they are, as many question marks, can you make a team tougher in the spring is what I'm asking?
That's a really good question, because you talk about the toughness of the coaching staff. That's great. They don't play a single down. You got to recruit tough kids. You got to recruit tough guys. Think about when the black shirts were the black shirts. Right. I mean, think about the players that came through. Do you think they didn't come into Lincoln being remarkably tough, nasty, down and dirty football players? Every single one of them did. Now, some of them had some personality flaws, some of them had some character issues, but if you're just asking me about toughness, I mean, you look at the Peters kids, and you look at the other kids that they recruited to play on that defensive line, I would say all the way up to maybe like a Jared Crick. You know, I mean, Vincent Valentine, wonderful player. Is he as tough as those guys were? I think that's a pretty tough argument to make. So it's not about how tough the coaching staff is, Chris. It's about how tough the players are. And to me, that's a culture thing. That is a recruiting philosophy. What are you going to recruit? Are you going to recruit the guys that run the 4-4 and look really good in the uniforms? Or are you going to recruit the guys who love to play that kind of football? Because a lot of times, those are two completely different athletes.
And good luck and God bless if you can get both, right?
Well, then you're winning championships is what's happening.
And then you're Ohio State and you're Michigan. Rick Pizzo with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Rick, Nebraska, yes or no? Are they a bubble team for the NCAA tournament if Ed does not get hurt? If Ed Morrow is not hurt, you look at their numbers with him in the lineup, is this Nebraska basketball team a bubble team?
I think they're close. I think that Gardner-Webb loss would literally have hung upon them all year long, just like the Florida Atlantic loss would have hung on Ohio State had the Buckeyes made any kind of run late in the year. So I think they would have been close to being a bubble team. Whether I think they would have actually been in the conversation for a bid on Selection Sunday is up for debate, but there's no doubt that they would be a surefire postseason team with Ed Morrow in the lineup and a team that I don't think anybody would have wanted to face in the first round of the Big Ten tournament.
You know, how do you think this shakes out for Nebraska? Tough one Thursday against Sparty. I know Harris is out. That's just tough news for Michigan State fans. Nebraska's playing better. Four games left. How do you think Nebraska fares?
You know, I think this Michigan State team is one of the more intriguing teams over the last couple of weeks because Aaron Harris had kind of done something over the past month that Tom Izzo had been asking him to do ever since he arrived in East Lansing from Morgantown, and that was to be a leader for the young guys. He didn't figure it out until he realized, you know what, I got about 2 months left in my career in college. Let me embrace the young guys and help bring them along. You saw that he was doing exactly that by the emotional response he got from the young guys when they saw he was down. Now I'm curious as to how they actually perform. Because when you have a young team that takes an emotional hit like this, they were already dealing with the pressure of being a bubble team, already dealing with being the team that could potentially end this streak of Michigan State going to the NCAA tournament. That's a heavy burden to bear anyway. Now you've just lost a guy. You've watched him go down. How do you respond? I think it's going to be one of the more fascinating stories over the next couple of weeks. And obviously, just like everybody else, I have to wait to see how it plays out.
No, it is. And those are excellent points about Sparty and what they're dealing with on top of the rest of their schedule. Rick, what'd you think of that Maryland and Wisconsin finish on Sunday? It looked great early for Maryland, and then, you know, Wisconsin went back to looking like Wisconsin.
Yeah, they did kind of exactly what they had to do and what we are used to seeing them do. I mean, what had thrown me off was that they just did not look like themselves for a decent stretch of time. And even when Wisconsin has struggled, whether it was under Bo Ryan or Greg Gard over the last almost 2 years, they've always found a way to get themselves in game back to playing Wisconsin basketball. And they didn't do that in the losses to Northwestern or the loss to Michigan. They did it to a T against Maryland. And now, much like Michigan State, Maryland, who relies so much on freshmen, has a very important stretch coming up as well. I think Wisconsin's going to be fine. I think their ceiling is probably a 5 seed, maybe a 4 seed if they go on a run in the NCAA tournament. I'm not sure they're built to make the kind of run that they've made in years past. I think Maryland and Purdue are probably built a little bit better as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned.
I think you're right. And right now, Rick, is there a sleeper team in the Big Ten that looks like they're in right now? And talk to me specifically with Northwestern, because that's going to be the team, if all things hold out, they'll be in for the first time. There'll be a great story. How do they handle that success, and how do they handle this emotion?
Yeah, I don't think they're in yet. I appear to be in the minority there. I mean, the win over Rutgers was an absolute must-have, and I said last week that when they had 5 games left on their schedule, that they absolutely, positively had to win 2. They had to win the Rutgers game, and I think they have to win tonight's game against Illinois, which is on BTN at 7 Central. You cannot afford to be swept by an Illinois team that is not going to the NCAA tournament, maybe not going anywhere for the postseason, and feel comfortable heading into the Big Ten tournament. If they were to lose this game tonight, then I think you still need a quality win, and they have a chance. They play Michigan and they play Purdue the last week of the season, but I don't think you want to put yourself in that spot. If they win tonight, then they're comfortable. Then they feel like all they're doing at that point is playing for seeding, trying to get the double bye, and playing to get the highest seed possible in the NCAAs.
Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet at BTN. Rick Pizzo. Rick, we'll catch up next week, man. Always fun to chat. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Pleasure's mine as always, Chris. Take care, bud.
You know, Pizzo's just good stuff. And we got into the recruiting discussion. Full dive is his take. If you're going to do it, go big. And the toughness question, that's something that's ongoing. There were some games that Nebraska, frankly, wasn't very tough. They got beat up. They got owned. Out-physicaled. And that is going to be a point of emphasis this spring. We'll spend some more time talking about that next step and kind of Riley's comments about where the Nebraska needs to go. It's an ongoing learning process, year 3. Caller 6 now. How about a online subscription for you to HailVarsity.com? Premium online subscription. See many of your Nebraska friends on the message board. Inside info, in-depth recruiting analysis, and yes, breaking news. A Caller 6 offer for you right now. Premium online subscription to HailVarsity.com. Caller 6 now. Caller 6, 466-3776.
Can you hear it? Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Thanks for your time. Hope you're doing all right. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. No time like the present to find your way out to Wilderness Ridge. Awesome weather this week. WildernessRidgeGolf.com And can find out more about spring membership, 402-434-5106. Go see Chris Thompson, Mike Shewhart. Shuey going to be in with us tomorrow. Also, Pat Casey, head coach, Oregon State baseball, with us tomorrow. And we'll dive into it, putting a recruiting staff together with an inside man at the University of Alabama, how they did it. What's the approach for Nebraska? Open phone segment for you, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Open lines now till the rest of the show if you want to jump in with TJ and myself. Okay, I will get back to some basketball here in a little bit, but I wanted to spend 10 more minutes on the Portland Tribune interview, Kerry Eggers and Mike Riley. Nebraska makes the staff moves. That was discussed. A better 2017 is wanted. And two things out of this interview and story. One, Riley, pretty adamant about where Nebraska needs to go. He learned where Nebraska needs to go. Two, that next step is winning those games beyond the ones you're supposed to win. Yeah, the ones you're supposed to win, and then you win the big games. Now, as a Nebraska fan, ask yourself this. What type of Nebraska fan are you? Are you the Nebraska fan that demands perfection, where got to win all of the big games? Or is it enough right now for you to show up in the big games? Am I going moral victory, patty cake, here's a trophy for finishing 376? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm asking, here and now, is it okay to show up? And then, yes, you got to get over the hump and win the big game. But is it okay at this point to show up? And Nebraska showed up and won and fell flat in some others last year. Bowl game, Black Friday, Brutus. Everything up until that point, so it was okay. They showed up. They won. Those games that are those next step games, they still haven't won for a long time. Haven't. And you got to go back to 6-7 years. Right?
Say so.
So why? Why has Nebraska not won those big games over the last 7 years? Let's try and answer it. It's not just one thing, but I know one thing that helps. Quarterback. When Nebraska gets beat, why do they get beat? Well, for the most part, defensively, they've collapsed. Defensively, you've either not stopped the run or you've given up big plays. Don't care who's got the headset on. Don't care who had the defensive coordinator pull over on. That's been your common denominator. Giving up big plays on defense. Blown coverages. You have not stopped the run game. And you've allowed way too many points. So you put a lot of stress on your offense. You've had serviceable quarterbacks. You've had good quarterbacks. But if you had great quarterbacks, no is your answer. You've not had greatness at quarterback. Do you have one on campus now? Not fair to say, sure. But at least you have choices. You can have a very good quarterback on campus. So to take that next step, we agree that defense needs to be better. There needs to be a element of running the football too. But you got to have a quarterback that can make plays for you. And you just said goodbye to one that made a lot of plays to at least get you to 9-4. You want to go beyond 9-4. For the last 93 starts, you've had Tommy Armstrong or Taylor Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Two great guys. Two great competitors, especially with their legs.
Very talented, and they had monster stats.
Mm-hmm. But just their throwing mechanics, throwing off the back foot, you know, just not stepping up in the pocket. Like, we're going to be able to see that coming up here, you would think, with these three guys we have waiting in the wings.
And you know what? If Nebraska struggles to protect the guy that has the proper mechanics,
mm-hmm.
Nebraska, someone's going to be like, damn, give me a guy that gets out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Give me somebody that's elusive. Give me somebody that extends the play.
Yeah. Well,
O-line's
going to be a question mark as well.
Give me somebody whose completion percentage is like 79% on 3rd and 18. Okay. Oh, Tommy. So 6 of 1, 1/2 dozen of the other. Okay. But right now, that's to me, that per the interview here with Mike Riley and Kerry Eggers, taking that next step, and it starts at quarterback. It's not just quarterback, but it's an important part. Why has Ohio State been great? Okay, they caught lightning in a bottle with Cardale Jones. Guy that can run, guy that can throw, and let's not make a mistake. They had a great offensive line, and they had Zeke, and the defense was good.
Yeah.
They were loaded.
But, I mean, that guy just came off the bench and won the biggest games you could win all year.
And you know what? Ohio State does not win a championship. They don't beat Alabama if it's Braxton. Or if it's even Barrett,
because mm-hmm.
you saw them fall down when push came to shove and someone actually shut down Ohio State's run game, their quarterback couldn't win it with his arm. That was the first. You've heard that narrative 1,000 times about Nebraska football in the past. Well, if they stop the run, can your quarterback win it with his arm? Hell no. Well, it was a reality for Ohio State twice this year.
Mm-hmm.
It was. So go get a difference-making quarterback or a fabulous decision maker. Okay, you can win big and get to where you want to go, that next step of New Year's Day 6 or even a Big Ten championship with a guy like Kirk Cousins or Russell Wilson. Okay, think about what they were in college, and they traded times between manager and playmaker. And I think you've got guys on campus right now. You're supposed to, based on ratings and performance in high school or Manning camps, to maybe put you in position to be in the game offensively. I mean, you and I don't know what this offense can look like. We can flip on Oregon State against USC in the Fog Bowl game and see how great it can be when you're clicking.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine it being great, but we haven't seen it. You've seen 2 years of an offense that's been stagnant. It's looked brilliant one moment, or you've had brilliant individual playmaking one moment, or you've had just utter despair and what the hell was that type playmaking too. Rick said it, consistency, but I want to go a step further from consistency with just, do you have one of those fellas?
Yeah.
Do you have a guy like Winston? Do you have a guy like Johnny Football? Do you have a guy like Cardale Jones? Do you have a guy like Watson? I know he's dual threat, but that's what you need at quarterback.
Consistency.
You need something in the Baker Mayfield. He's gotten Oklahoma to the playoff the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense has sucked, but he's gotten them there. Do you have somebody like that can spur you along? And to me, obviously defense is a question. Your line's got to get physical and tough, and you're shifting and transitioning. It's not just on your quarterback, but that's a major yes, check the box if you're going to move forward. And this is the first time in forever since the Sue era. You have a quarterback question mark in discussion,
mm-hmm.
and I'm all for it. Let the best dude win. Who can move the ball? Who can move the chains? Who can be smart with the football? Who can keep defenses off balance with a really good mix in run pass? Can your defense do better than 20.5 a game in Big Ten play?
Yeah.
Please say yes.
And can your offense do better against when the level of competition ups? You can put up numbers against Fresno State and all these non-con teams, but when you
played anybody good last year, 24 was your max.
Yep. Exactly. Like, that's got to be more consistent when you play better competition.
And you've done something about that defensively, too. You made a change for the better, you mm-hmm. think, and you brought in a guy like Diaco that keeps dudes out of the end zone. Great. You had four scoring possessions, you kick field goals, there's 12. 21's over 12. Scoring points in red zone percentage. So does Nebraska have a quarterback that can take them and help them with that next step? I don't have the answer as yes right now, but I know there are options that can maybe give you some hope. And if you got a quarterback that can throw it around, and I'm all for the run game as well, but if you got a guy that's accurate and you got a short passing game, maybe you can set up the run. That's a possibility. Now, he needs to stay upright. He needs to be protected. And then defensively, you got to stop the run and get after a quarterback, too. It's all stacked on several things. But how do you feel about it as a Nebraska fan here? Spring is around the corner. Riley knows that better production is needed in those big games. And one thing that's been a question mark when you look down the line in the last several big games, because Nebraska had the advantage at quarterback. Yes, in some instances, or you had a guy, I mean, Tommy Armstrong outplayed Connor Cook 2 years ago. Completely outplayed him. That's not the exception, or I should say that's not been the rule. That's been more the exception. It's got it in him to do it. But do you have that just no BS, no holds barred, consistency of excellence? Do you have a difference maker at quarterback? And if Nebraska is going to move forward, that one of these three dudes on campus need to hit. It's obvious. But it needs to be said to be in contention. And, to wrap up on this recruiting staff and a fourth part of Nebraska football, that's why you're adding to the current staff, is to continue to scour the earth for potential difference makers at all positions, but at that money spot, which is quarterback. You're out for a good time with friends and family. You have a few drinks. Someone offers you a ride home. You say no. You're okay to drive, but you're not. Mixing alcohol and driving, never a good thing. You can take a life. You can lose yours. Can be arrested. Can go to jail. Can lose your license. Can pay fines. Can have tons of legal fees. Any way you look at it, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. Hail Varsity Radio continues.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, who backed up Jay? Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Thanks for your time. Hope you're doing all right. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Plenty of Nebraska football talk on today's program. Missed any part of it, can log on hailvarsity.com. The radio tab, iTunes, the ESPN 1480 app has the podcast for you, too. And don't forget, Hail Varsity Magazine, the new issue is out. The Great Unknown, the movie theme, with some of the questions you're wondering about Nebraska football. And to take that next step, do you have the quarterback in place? We'll have better answers after spring, and for sure after Oregon. But that's a common denominator with teams that are vying for championships. Your quarterback's a stud. Unless you're Alabama and you have 10 other dudes around him that go to the NFL. It's not a knock on the Jay Barkers of the world. Huh? What? Jay was their 92 winning national championship quarterback.
Yeah, never heard of him.
Who's the guy who had the Auburn girlfriend that Musburger was like, oh, this is what you get when you go to Alabama? Who's that guy?
A.J. McCarron.
A.J. McCarron. Right, he's in Cincy, isn't he?
I believe so.
He thinks he's a tough dude because he's got a T-Magic tattoo on his upper arm.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe.
Okay. I bet he whined. He was liquored up and he was held down. You don't do that sanely, do you? A tribal tattoo on your arm?
Or yeah.
By partial sleeve? We should grab Sparky, our rock and roll dude down the hall, because Sparky's got a sleeve and Sparky's a tough dude. You know anybody who's got a sleeve? Other than Sparky?
Not personally, no.
No. I don't know. Neck tattoo?
No.
You don't run with a neck tattoo crowd?
Doesn't Dale Johnson have one?
Yeah, he has a neck tattoo. Yeah. See, you know somebody.
Yeah.
But it's lips.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, actually.
Is that from like a band or something?
Well, the Rolling Stones do the tongue thing.
Yeah. Okay.
But as far as the lips on the neck, depending on whose lips they are, that's a pretty awesome idea. I'm down with that. Okay, we asked Pizzo this. Time to ask you, Mr. TJ, 466-377-6800-825-5865. Nebraska, a bubble team if Edward stayed healthy. 5-2 with him.
Mm-hmm.
3-0 on the road. Yep. Ed's huge. Ed's important. Ed's tremendous. Does it carry over?
So, I obviously think he's our third best player.
Mm-hmm.
He's third in points on the team, leads the team in rebounding, leads the team in blocks, leads the team in field goal percentage, which isn't shocking.
He's the third most impactful? Or am I twisting your words?
No, I think Ty and Glenn are the top two guys on the team.
Okay.
Being able to just create on offense and what they can do defensively as well. But, yeah, I think Ed, losing him was big. You went 1-6 without him. And check these out. Since he's been back, Nebraska's holding foes to 39% shooting and out-rebounding opponents by 8 rebounds per game. So he's been bringing it defensively. Although you went 1-6 without him, you still had plenty of games that you could have won, especially the Ohio State Rutgers.
1-6 could have been like 4-3 or 3-4.
So I want to say that even without him, you still could be a bubble team. But obviously, if he's there, I don't think you go 1-6. You probably go, at worst, 3-4. So, look, obviously, huge key to the team. You need him. You don't want to be without him, but you still had plenty of chances, like Ohio State, Rutgers.
So now you're 15-11 with a great schedule.
Yeah. 4 games left. Like, man. Like, you brought up that one time. Like, it's still crazy to me that Notre Dame team with 16 wins got an at-large bid.
Because 16-15, did I say 91?
Yeah, I believe so.
LaPhonso Ellis.
Yeah. Like, that blows my mind.
George McLeod was the coach. They had the number one schedule in the country. They beat, like, 3 or 4 number one teams. This is before they joined the Big East. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of a NCAA tournament march nut, so there are teams that you latch on to and cheer for. That Notre Dame team I was interested in. Fab Five, obviously. UNLV was sweet.
Mm-hmm.
The Todd Day Arkansas squad that was also incredible.
Is that the 40 Minutes of Hell team?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, this is pre-Corliss Williamson. They got their title in 94, beat Duke. But there was like a buildup, late 80s to mid-90s of just sick teams. Teams that stayed together and won. And you had that Arkansas team, you had the Fab Five, Loyola Marymount's team with Bo Kimble was just phenomenal because they were scoring 150 a game. So, no, I love it. And the reason I'm going on this sidetrack here is there are teams that this Nebraska team reminds me a bit of some of those teams. And I can rattle off all the early 90s Nebraska teams that went to the tournament because you know the players, you know the role guys, you know the roster and rotation. And I see that with this team. Very young, very talented, already some impressive wins. Not enough, obviously, but I see really good things with this personnel.
Mm-hmm. And then I brought to you before the show how Joe Lunardi last night had Texas Tech in his next 4 out, and they have 4 games under in their conference that in the Big 12.
It's a quality versus quantity discussion, young TJ.
And I'm thinking, if Nebraska just goes 4-1 or 5-0 to finish, like, why wouldn't they be in with their strength of schedule and having a winning conference record?
Because the Big Ten is garbage this year in the
pack. It's down.
It's garbage in many people's eyes. And then you have the Big 12. I mean, they're supposed to get as many bids as the Big Ten. You have 10 teams.
Oh, for sure. The Big 12 is great.
Yeah, Big 12 is getting 70% of their league in.
Oh, and as they should. They're really good this year. But a team, 4 games under 500, and they're the next 4 out in their conference, surprising.
They've beaten Kansas.
Agreed.
They've beaten West Virginia on the road. Okay. They've beaten, who else? Baylor. They won at Baylor, didn't they?
Or was it at home?
I don't know.
Been at home.
Point is they've knocked off the top 4 dogs in the Big 12.
Agree, but maybe it's happened, but has a team with a losing conference record ever gotten in?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Used to be pretty commonplace where if you're under 500, you still sneak in. I mean, the ACC...
That just doesn't seem like it's going to happen
nowadays.
The ACC
is going to get 10. I feel like a jerk for blasting Clemson. Clemson's going to dirty their way in at like 17 and 12 as a play-in 11 seed.
Yeah. Well, that could be the Huskers then. I mean, that I think Clemson's 14 and 12, the Huskers are 12 and 14. Mm. I mean, if the Huskers were to go on a run, they'd just be there with Clemson as well.
We'll see, but, you know, maybe we're having a different conversation. The other side of this coin is some guys really had to step up their game with the absence of Ed. It has forced Roby. It has forced Horn. It has forced Jack. It has forced guys to do the old mirror test, change and adapt and improve their game. So you don't have some of these wins without the adversity you got to go through. Losing Ed. I mean, you'll remember that Purdue game, I would hope, because of the effort and the outcome. They don't rise up. Maybe they don't rise up without Ed not being there. But the record looks a hell of a lot better for sure. We'll wind down to Tuesday. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Hey, Jay Bird's back in Thursday. Tomorrow on the show, a man that was part of Alabama's recruiting juggernaut. How did it work down there? Where's Nebraska need to go here when it comes to staff expansion? Pat Casey, head coach of Oregon State Baseball. He'll be with us. Get his thoughts. Nebraska and Oregon State hookup on Thursday down in Surprise, Arizona. Nebraska baseball looking to get over 500, rained out in Arizona. That is so weird to say still. So Pat Casey, Oregon State baseball coach, with us tomorrow. Today we caught up with Mitch Sherman and Rick Pizzo. Miss any part of the program, do log on to the podcast, either on iTunes at HailVarsity.com or the ESPN 1480 app. The app's free to download for your iPhone or Android, and then the app is there for you and real easy to take with you. So check it out. Be sure to check out the new Hail Varsity issue 2, The Great Unknown, movie theme with so many questions heading into spring 2017. It's easy to predict and then see where you're wrong, but just at its face right now, no proof. Taking other people's word, just gut feel. Think they're okay at quarterback. Whatever happens, whoever. At wide out, I don't know. I mean, Stanley and DPE are two really sweet options. Need a tight end. McNitt's a dude I need to see catching the football, H-back style, if you don't find a tight end. And get McNitt the football, even if you do have a tight end. Defensively, I think you're going to have some fellas that can fly off the ball off the edge. And I have no fear at Perella coaching up those dudes to be mean on the interior. You have experience in the secondary. What are you going to do when you get punched in the face repeatedly? You going to just drop to a knee and duck and cover? Iowa gets PO'd at you again? Or if Tennessee does it to you, or if you get down to Ohio State, do you just say, screw it? That's what I don't know. I don't know the resolve. And it's a new team, new leaders, new individuals. It's a new team. So it's not fair to cast thoughts on these new guys taking over. And the few seniors that are back, as well as I think I know their personality, they ain't having it either. So in those next step games, do you punch back versus just get slaughtered? Are you in it early? I mean, do you allow there to be a fourth quarter of substance? We'll find out. Thanks for your time. Appreciate you so much tuning in. Thanks to TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt. We'll be back at you tomorrow. Find us at 4. Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Take care.